Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show, number 692 in the series. This session shares the Economic Development Subcommittee meeting that was held on Wednesday, January 5th, 2022. The meeting was in a hybrid mode. All four committee members were participating, with the MAPC representatives participating also via the Zoom connection. Some public participants and the town administration staff were in person. Other public participants were able to join via the Zoom conference bridge as well. Links to the meeting agenda and my notes are in the show notes. The recording does miss approximately the first 15 minutes of the meeting and runs 47 minutes. You get the full gist of the presentation and certainly the question and answers and the next steps. So let's listen to the Economic Development Subcommittee meeting for January 5, 2022.
What that rezoning should be, so that, you know, way by the time the articles come before the council, everyone is sort of on board and aware of what's going on. And there may be additional steering committee meetings that town staff would manage depending on scope and budget. Next slide. So community engagement is obviously a huge part of this project. It is necessary to come up with, you know, a vision that everyone can sort of get on board with and, you know, that provides benefit for the whole community. And obviously that looks different for different stakeholders. So we will be having these regular steering committee meetings. Also, MAPC will be doing some more enhanced engagement with town staff and leadership to understand, you know, sort of any infrastructural capacity barriers that we should be considering. We'll be holding focus group meetings with developers, with, you know, housing advocates and service providers, folks that can really speak to what's going on in Franklin and things that we should be paying attention to through this process. We'll be hosting two public forums, one coming up in March and then another later in the spring, as I mentioned, to review the zoning recommendations later. And then this first public forum will be around really establishing that vision for Franklin Center. We have a project webpage, which I'm remiss that I didn't include the link in this presentation. So that is at mapc.org/franklin-4-all. And, you know, we can distribute that link after. And that's, you know, sort of a landing page for us to post public information, to let people know about upcoming engagement events. And, you know, that's a nice tool that is kind of at our disposal that we can do with it as we wish. We'll also be crafting some more detailed communication materials to help promote the upcoming forum and also just general knowledge about the project. So we could do, you know, some myth busting and really kind of break down what some of the concerns might be and, you know, ways that we can mitigate them before, you know, we even get into a public forum. And then again, depending on time and budget, there is the potential for additional engagement opportunities like a survey. So, or kind of touching back in with some of the stakeholders with focus groups later in the process. So that's TBD right now. Next slide. As I mentioned, we've come up with a logo and branding concept that's meant to be sort of a consistent and across our different materials. But really the goal is so the community can easily recognize what we're doing and know kind of what engagement events we have going on. Next slide. So I'm just going to briefly summarize the zoning diagnostic because, you know, there's a lot in there and I know that you have the summary of that work in your packet. So I won't go into too much detail because, you know, you as the subcommittee already are very familiar with Franklin zoning. But, you know, just for any members of the public that are joining on, just this kind of explains the role of zoning in shaping a municipality and really why this is a rezoning project. So zoning sets the requirements and incentives for land use and provides the legal framework for what can and cannot be developed on any given parcel. And well-crafted zoning should ideally tell the private sector what kind of development the town wants to see and where they want to see it. And desired uses and building typologies should be allowed by right or with limited approvals to stimulate the development process. And this is because needing a variance or special permit, even if there's, you know, the developer has pretty good confidence they'll end up getting it, it still introduces uncertainty to the development review process. It takes additional time and can affect lending. And so, you know, all these factors combined may end up discouraging investment. Next slide. So this is just a map of the study area that we've identified now. And so we're not necessarily planning to rezone this whole area, but this is kind of the whole area that we're looking at for the purposes of this project. Obviously the focus being the downtown commercial district and the C1 districts. So the areas that we've included in our study area are obviously the downtown commercial districts and the C1 districts, also the mixed business innovation district, the single family residential 4 district, and the general residential 5 district that's in this area. So we've included, you know, pretty much all the parcels that are within a half mile around the transit station, plus some additional areas that, you know, we might think about more smaller incremental increases in density, but obviously not at the same scale that we'd be thinking about for the downtown core. Next slide. So generally speaking, dimensional regulations are a bit restrictive for a downtown area where there really is a desire for multifamily and mixed use development. You know, the town has kind of had regular conversations with developers as they process permit applications and whatnot. And it sounds like especially the requirement for building area appears to be a barrier for new development, since a special permit is needed for any building over 3 stories. And, you know, if those 4 stories are really desired, then providing more certainty in that process could be a positive. And large minimum lot sizes, frontages, and setback requirements somewhat conflict with historic development patterns that already exist in the downtown and that, you know, people like, and that contribute to overall vibrancy. So, you know, if you sort of want to make smaller infill developments happen or redevelop existing parcels, breaking down some of those restrictions can go a long way. Next slide. Parking is obviously something that comes up when you're talking about any new development, and especially in kind of a downtown area where you are balancing housing and commercial interests and, you know, various stakeholders. But, you know, developers have identified high parking requirements as a barrier to redevelopment. So those numbers are about 1.5 spaces per unit for mixed use properties in the DC district, and same in the C1 district, and all other districts require 2 spaces per unit. And this is one of the more common areas where zoning relief is sought through the boards. But on the other hand, business owners are concerned about a lack of parking and, you know, the ability for residents to access their services. So it really is important to hear from everybody to strike the right balance, to not overload on-street parking while also reflecting the fact that this is a transit accessible area, it's a walkable area. So how can we encourage those things? Next slide. So in terms of the use regulations, multifamily is defined as everything over 2 units, which basically means that a 3 or 4 unit building is captured as the same use as a 20 or 50 unit building. So there might be an option to look into a new use category that is in the 3 or 4 family range to have some more subtle increases in density directly outside of the downtown core without really overburdening those neighborhoods. The lot area restrictions associated with multifamily uses are pretty prohibitive in the downtown core and maybe restricting development. So this is the requirement in the DC district that every unit there's at least 2,000 square feet of lot area. And so that really can restrict how many units can be developed, and obviously needing the special permit is introducing uncertainty into that process. Another thing to note is that the zoning bylaw doesn't include a definition for mixed use, which, you know, even though it is allowed in certain districts, the multifamily and commercial uses are looked at individually and treated separately. And this could provide, this may provide, you know, some confusion about what commercial uses are, you know, really desired and should be allowed or encouraged in the downtown area. So it's a good thing for the town to sort of consider is creating a specific definition for mixed use and then determining what districts it wants that to be in. And all in all, this is just making it easier to build what the town wants to see. So not overly restricting the process, but setting more of a plan for how it wants to, you know, see things grow. Next slide. So the land use policy and, you know, just kind of the need to always need a special permit or a variance is kind of more reactive to developer requests rather than proactively advancing a vision for the area. And, you know, as I've mentioned, the town should really zone for what it wants to see and then let developers build that. But in terms of coming up with what does the town want to see, that's why we're doing this visioning process. That's why it's so important that we're hearing from different stakeholders to come up with that plan for how we want to use zoning to achieve our vision. And again, just modifying zoning to allow those desired uses and densities either by right or, you know, with a more limited approval process like a site plan review, as opposed to needing a special permit or variance. And also just, you know, the boards kind of having more of a consensus about how they can work together to support high quality projects in good locations. So they could really, you know, use those individual skills and strengths that the different boards can bring to work together to achieve that vision. Next slide. So these are just a few potential rezoning directions, but I want to be clear that this list is not exhaustive. And, you know, as we hear more from the public and from different stakeholders and developers, you know, we hope to add on to this list and we may consider one thing, multiple things. We're really not at that stage yet, but these are a few potential options for where we could go. Inclusionary zoning being a big one. You know, there hasn't been a huge appetite for that in the past, but that maybe has changed. And, you know, just the fact that inclusionary zoning can be a really key tool for restricting some requirements in exchange for providing more affordability. So, you know, you're introducing more certainty to the developer by not needing to seek those extra approvals. And so even though what they might end up having to give is, you know, more of a subsidy because they're including those affordable units, it's at least known up front and they can plan for that. An option could be a Chapter 40R Smart Growth Zoning Overlay District. That would be sort of something that would have to be approved through DHCD and, you know, would allow you to create zoning for an area that includes a certain level of affordability and also streamlines the process for permitting. And in exchange, there are some financial incentives that the state distributes for each unit that's produced. The town may decide to just create its own local zoning overlay district where it sort of sets dimensional and use standards for what it wants to see. You know, you wouldn't miss out on some of those financial incentives through 40R, but you wouldn't be as bound by kind of the state's guidance in terms of what you end up crafting. Both DIF and TIF, district increment financing and tax increment financing, sort of use tax increments. So the difference between the assessed value of a property currently and what it sort of would be at its full built out potential. And those are different ways of using that tax increment to either provide, you know, a tax incentive upfront where the developer wouldn't have to pay taxes for an X number of years. And that could help, you know, those what they're not paying in taxes, they would be able to fund in construction or, you know, doing a process where you are using that tax increment to make infrastructure improvements and whatnot. So even though it's not a direct payout to the developer, they still have certainty that the area is improving and growing, that it's a really focused area for new investment. And then one of the more kind of drastic options is an urban renewal plan that would be generally implemented through a redevelopment authority. And this would essentially give the town the ability to take properties by eminent domain and, you know, work with another developer or sort of come up with a plan for how it wants to see vacant or sort of blighted properties enhanced. Next slide. So I got through my presentation quicker than I was hoping, so that's good. And just to let you know sort of what we're up to in the next couple months, we'll be holding 4 focus group meetings in late January and early February. Those will be with developers, business and property owners, housing service providers and advocates, and then a focus group with downtown residents. And, you know, just to hear from these different stakeholders and understand what their concerns might be and also hear what opportunities they think we might be able to seize on. As I mentioned, we'll be producing communication materials to provide education and also promote the forum that is coming up on March 7th. We will do some more enhanced engagement with town staff and leadership and start on some analysis related to compliance with the new MBTA communities guidelines and also conducting a context analysis and development scenarios that will allow us to start really thinking about what could come out of the rezoning process and what changes in zoning could, you know, spur. And so we'll be documenting that both visually and also, you know, through some build out figures. So as we gear up for the next forum on March 7th, we are really hoping that the steering committee and just town staff generally can help promote the forum and this process. So, you know, we have this date set. We intentionally set it kind of far into the future, so we have plenty of time to promote it and have people understand, and really just know about the process before they even hear about the forum. So spreading the word about our website, and then when we do produce communication materials to kind of get those out to your audiences. And we will plan for our next steering committee meeting in February. I'm not sure the exact date of that right now, but it will be, you know, in this same venue that we're in now. And we will use that as an opportunity to have some more discussions about, you know, sort of what you all would want to see come out of this process. And we'll be doing some more planning and promotion for the forum on March 7th at 7 p.m. So now if you want to just go to the next slide. Next one. Great. So these are some discussion questions that we have sort of come up with that I'm curious to start talking about. And I also know that you might have some questions and you might want to take some questions to the public. So Melanie, I'm not sure if you have a preference for how we do this piece. And if we don't have time to, you know, get through all these questions, you know, we could always follow up individually with folks to hear more, obviously in compliance with open meeting law.
Thank you, Emma, and John and Sasha for all your work on the getting this all together for us and the zoning diagnostics. It's very exciting. The next, just so you know, February 2nd is our next steering meeting. Does anyone on the steering committee have a question for Emma? Beth?
Go ahead. I don't know.
Sure. Okay. General question. I think you have skipped down to what are some of the strengths of Franklin Center? More, I guess, of a technicality or a technical question. Franklin Center, are you considering that Franklin downtown? Just a terminology question, I guess, the silly one, but living in the downtown, and I don't know how other people feel like. Call it downtown Franklin. So Franklin Center, and reading through this, the document materials and listening to the presentation, just calling it Franklin Center, just can we define what that means, I guess? Are we considering that the area in general that we're talking, I think we commercial 2, the single family four, the MBI, downtown commercial. Is that what Franklin Center is being referred to as, or what are we meaning by that, I guess? Just downtown, or?
I think Emma can answer that.
Sure. So we were thinking it would mean the whole study area that we're looking at. And then a subset of that would be the downtown commercial district. So we're obviously focusing on that downtown area, but we still also want to think about the surrounding areas too.
Because maybe just making that clear to folks.
Yeah, absolutely.
The definition, mm-hmm. or how we present it to people, making that, make sure people understand what that study area is. Mm-hmm. And I, that's one of your questions. What is, are we capturing the right locations?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. Good idea. Councilor Frangillo?
Yeah, thank you. This is fantastic. A lot of things that I'm excited about in there. I'm going to focus on the things that I didn't hear and was wondering if we will be touching upon them. One is design. I know that it's increasingly form-based coding in its entirety is increasingly popular, but is there going to be some look at expanding our design codes during this, you know, as part of zoning, right? As we relieve some of the restrictions on types of building, we want to make sure that we're still ensuring that new buildings will match the historic design of downtown. Is that going to be part of this process?
Absolutely. The form-based code is a great idea. You know, I think that's sort of a bigger beast in and of itself, because, you know, we would probably need to look at the whole town and how it falls along the form-based code spectrum. But design guidelines are definitely something that we could incorporate. You know, if you were to create an overlay district, you can have specific design guidelines in there. And I agree that if you are relinquishing some of that control around the permitting process, you want to ensure that design is still a key piece. And there might also be ways to sort of have the board still have a role in the design review, but kind of separate from the permitting process.
Awesome. And the only other thing is around alternative transportation mm-hmm. methods. We just passed our complete streets plan. We have a prioritization plan. We're hoping to implement some projects. We also, at the state level, just received funding to extend to extend the rail trail to downtown. Are these going to be sort of bike lanes and walking and alternative transportation going to be part of this process as well?
So we, you know, through our context analysis, we're going to be looking at, you know, roadways, other kind of infrastructure, water, sewer capacity, et cetera. So obviously, you know, our focus is on rezoning and kind of stimulating private investment, but in creating a vision for the area, these are all things we want to kind of capture. So Franklin as a walkable, bikeable place. So, you know, how can we use zoning to sort of encourage those things through kind of the private market?
Thank you.
Yeah. Councilor Sheridan?
Yeah, just going with what Beth said, just so you know, I think I always thought I lived in Franklin Center, but in the census, it says where I live, which I always considered Franklin Center, it says Dean College. And is that your Franklin Center, someplace far away from downtown, which the census considers Franklin Center? I'm not sure, maybe it's geographical center, I don't know, but just so you know that.
Thank you.
Interesting. Councilor Jones?
I'm going to actually hear what the public
is. Okay.
Just one quick question.
Mr. Rondo?
Approximately how much area are we talking on this rezone?
So, like I said, the area that we are looking at, you know, for this whole process and we're considering is not necessarily the whole area that's going to end up getting rezoned. So we're sort of looking at a bigger area up front, just to make sure we're considering the whole neighborhood and surrounding areas. So the area that we are, you know, that kind of is mapped right now in that study area is quite big. John, my teammate, do you have that figure?
I do, Emma. So right now, the area that's on the study area that's in the maps that were in the materials provided for the meeting, I think it's on the last page. There's a big outline that has the study area for Franklin Center and then a smaller outline, which is about a 10-minute walk from the transit center. That larger dark outline is give or take 1.4 square miles or just shy of 900 acres. So it's a big area, but we're taking a look at that initially and then we'll kind of tone down as needed.
Excellent question. Is there anyone in the audience who would like to ask a question? In the chambers? Beth Worling would like to ask another question.
Or a statement, I guess. I think one of the questions on the board is, what do you hope to get out of the rezoning process, and what are some of the strengths of Franklin Center? I'm really hoping that we can draw on some of the strengths, which in my opinion, I actually really like our downtown. I know we can use a lot more businesses, restaurants, commercial places to go. We have some really great things to walk to. I love walking in the downtown, love our town common, some new businesses moving in, and I think that we're starting to see a lot of progress down there, and I hope we can continue that momentum and just pull upon that and get people, get the information out there to people to let them know what is in the downtown and keep that momentum moving, and maybe look at our bylaws in this process to see what we can do to encourage more development to build upon those different things that are in the positive in our downtown, and get people to realize what is down there. There is a lot down there.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I hear a lot, I do hear a lot of people saying there's nothing down there. Well, I think there is. I just need to really get people to see that. So, and I hope that happens.
Definitely, I agree with you. I think that, you know, the fun part is that you can walk around, and especially at Franklin, when we have the farmer's market, you can walk around, you walk through the library, you can go to the library, or all around downtown, up to the common, and it's beautiful. Some of those buildings are just gorgeous, right? So I think what Councilor Frangillo said about the importance about encouraging walking, other modes of transportation besides the automobile is kind of what I would like to see. Councilor Jones has a comment, question?
Just a comment, both actually. My comment really has to do with the fact that for many years now, we've been working on the EDC level and at the town council level, hoping and praying that the downtown becomes some, you know, crystal ball of futuristic location where everyone's coming to the downtown, they're visiting the downtown, they're going to all these wonderful locations, traversing it on foot, and just it's going to become this ooh-ah place. But one of the biggest problems we run into are the property owners. I mean, we've, for the most part, have had all these wonderful ideas of what we would like to do with a lot of pushback from those that actually own the properties downtown. The downtown itself, as far as properties go, is a very choppy location. I mean, the land, the way the lands are spread out, the way who owns them, Rockland owns certain pieces, Valley owns certain pieces, Mr. Zini owns certain pieces, Dean owns certain pieces. And I guess what my question really boils down to is, what can we do to invite them into coming to us and saying, what can we do to work with you? Because that's our, where we stop is on the sidewalk, 6 feet up to their doorway. If we can't do anything to even work with them to entice the property owners to try to make these upgrades and these updates, we're just standing still. So we really need to kind of sit down and talk with these property owners and say, what can we do with you to try to put forth some of the vision that we have for the downtown? Because at the moment, our hands are tied. We can throw in all the zoning we want, but anything that's pre-existing, non-conforming, doesn't really mean anything, because the properties are the way that they are. Any zoning changes that we make are changes to an area that we hope will change if and when there are upgrades and changes coming. But if the property owners have no choice or have no desire to make these changes, then the zoning changes we make are pretty much irrelevant up until somebody mm-hmm. so chooses to make those changes. Mm-hmm. So I get the point of trying to look forward and making a plan, but we really need to sit down with the property owners and get them into the chambers and talk with them and say, listen, what can we do to work with you? How can we incentivize you? What is it that we need to do to work with you to try to help us make these changes? And then together as a partnership, we can ultimately make the downtown a viable thing. But also, we have two dramatically growing portions of our town that we also need to take into consideration and, in essence, tie everything together. One is Franklin Village Plaza is growing exponentially. The whole exit, you know, what used to be exit 17 is growing quite a bit. We have quite a bit of growth coming down over our old exit 16. We have a lot of growth that's going in over off of East Central Street. So I guess what my big question is, after all these studies and discussions are done, is how do we tie this whole big picture together? And it'd be nice if we could have roads or paths or bike road paths that take us from one side, from the Big Y, all the way down to the library, Dean College, and all these places. And that's another entity that I would ultimately like to see, who's another big partner in all of this, is Dean College. Because you want to talk about anybody who sits dead center in the mm-hmm. center of Franklin is Dean College. So I would really like to get them into this conversation as well. I mean, it's all great to come up with what, how we would like things to see, but there are a lot of other players that will ultimately determine what direction this goes, because there have been so many different things over the past 12 years that I've been here that we've always wanted to do but have had our hands tied because those who have the capacity to make those changes aren't willing to do so.
Right. I believe that there are focus groups with the business owners. Mm-hmm. Is that correct, Emma?
So we have our first focus group that we have planned for January 24th is with business owners and some of the larger property owners. So, you know, we really want to hear from that group and understand, you know, what kind of it would take for some of these changes to happen. And, you know, just, I think the key part of zoning is that if it's written well and it has the right incentives, developers are going to make probably much more compelling offers on some of these properties than they would if there's a lot more uncertainty, you know, because they're going to need various permitting around the use or the stories that they want. So, you know, hopefully some of those market factors would be at play through the rezoning and through, you know, any upzoning you would do. And then, you know, then kind of on the other end, like zoning is more just kind of incentivizing the private market, and then kind of the other end of that is, you know, going the urban renewal eminent domain route, where, you know, you're essentially taking property for public use and, you know, community development, affordable housing, economic revitalization all sort of fall under that bucket. So, you know, depending on where the landowners are falling and their receptiveness to, you know, seeing change on their properties, that's why we're looking.
Okay. Yep. Just one more comment. one thing, this is just a general comment that I hold both as a counselor and as an EDC member. I'm never even fond of the word eminent domain. I've never been keen on the thought of government stepping in and taking a piece of property just to try to meet its sole purposes or goals that it may have. There are times that we have made eminent domain purchases, but those were basically purchases just to fix corners or fix roads, or to buy pieces of parcels of land that for the most part were useful. Pieces over by the old church and stuff like mm-hmm. that. But the thought of taking a piece of property for the purposes of meeting some kind of objective or goal is off the table as far as I'm concerned. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. I was going to go out to Zoom land. We have some hands up. Steve? I think I can see.
Yes, you can. Thank you. Apologize for coming in late. You may have mentioned at the beginning, I haven't found the presentation on the town website. I assume it will be posted there after this meeting.
Alicia is nodding yes.
Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. I think that's Eileen. Is that Eileen Mason? Alicia?
Eileen Mason.
Yeah. Eileen? Yes.
Yep. Hi, everyone. Having been involved with John Marini over the past 10, 15 years downtown here, he's put up some really significant buildings in downtown, and no one else has done that. He's got the best office building in downtown Franklin other than your two banks. It's got elevators, it's got a parking garage. He was forced to do a lot of things. And through those projects, we did what we called commercial one zoning in downtown. So somebody else asked the question, what are you considering downtown? I think when I looked at the map, I'm like, whoa, this is a huge area. So people like me and many, many others in town, probably 97, 99% of the people in town think of that area in downtown as being the downtown area. Franklin Center Commons, that's what all those buildings are. And they put up three very good buildings, one Dean College owns for their condos, residential condos and commercial buildings. And then the other two, the office building and then the 27 condo building out back. We had to go through major, major hoops and challenges to get those things done. But out of it came, you know, the commercial one zoning. So are we talking about tweaking that? Because that's one of the big things that we did get accomplished, and it mm-hmm. seems to be working. I also know other landlords or property owners in downtown that quite honestly are getting on in age, and they do not have any incentive nor desire to do these major takedowns of their buildings and rebuild on site, because they saw what happened at John Marini, and that was a huge, huge no win for a long time for that. So you never know what pandemic is going to come, economic conditions. So there's a big fear factor, I think, on the part of the current building owners to do that. And then I look thirdly at the latest thing that's been done, which is decommissioning the Davis Thayer School, that entire property. That to me is downtown Franklin. So if we're going to do anything, get that out of the hands of the town or sell it to a big developer and start our initiatives there, because I personally don't think it needs to be a huge amount of rezoning. Parking is a huge issue. And like Glenn said, somehow we got to help these property owners move on or invest in their properties. And the costs are staggering. It is no small task. And I don't know who's able, you know, to do that these days. So those are my comments.
Thank you, Eileen. I think we have another hand up. Alicia, can you see who it is?
Maxwell.
Max?
Hi, my name is Maxwell Marangello. I live at 127 Central Park Terrace. I don't have anything prepared, but I just want to have a few comments and a few questions. First off, I think, echoing Councillor Jones about sort of further down the road looking at other areas, you know, we talk about transit-oriented development. One of the things we're talking about, one station we haven't looked at is the Forge Park area. And that's a whole area that is right next to a train that, I mean, we have a business park, but it hasn't really been, the business park doesn't really use the train. So I'm just curious as to if there's some way to look at zoning that area later down the line. Second, there's a lot of political disincentives around sort of how the process would work in terms of, we can engage business owners, but I don't see a lot of residents who haven't moved to Franklin yet here because they don't live here yet. So how are you going to talk to people about sort of more affordable housing and engaging stakeholders that are future residents or around sort of bringing down, and the biggest impediment to affordable housing is zoning, because, you know, if you have a bunch of single family homes, that's going to be less places for people to live. So I'm very hopeful that this will lead not only to, you know, more business development, but also improving the residential landscape so people could afford a place to live. I'm concerned, and I didn't know if there was some way to insulate sort of the decision-making process from the financials of the town. Because what I've heard concerns about is the town doesn't want it to pay to I have to educate the school, the kids that move here. So instead of zoning for residential, they're going to zone commercial or zone for business. And I want to make sure that when we look at zoning, there isn't that incentive not to allow families to move here because we're worried about educating students. And I think that was, I'm hopeful that we could have more transit or development. And I just was wondering if you could address some of those questions. How do you involve stakeholders and voices that aren't here?
Sure. So,
good question. Okay, Emma, and then I think Jamie wanted to answer one part of it.
Sure, Jamie, do you want to go first?
Sure, thanks, Emma. Really quickly to Max's comment about Forge Park, technically this is not part of the study area. I know at the EDC in prior years, I know Councillor Jones, Councillor Hamlin, when we've talked, I think, to some of the newer members. Max, we're well aware of the opportunity at Forge Park. The thing about Forge Park is that there's predominantly one landowner that surrounds pretty much the entire area. And obviously there's a successful business that just went through bankruptcy court, the Dairy Farmers of America, who are there. And we have reached out to the owners of the property and the lessees, and we've tried to have some sort of engagement. And they're just simply not interested right this minute of actually going into an in-depth zoning analysis of that area. That being said, when we're talking about zoning in that area, Max, we are talking about that's a different level of zoning than just this study. That's bringing in the Secretary of Economic Development. That's bringing in Mass Development. You're talking about Mass Highway because of the interstate that's right there. That's an area that if it was ever open or rezoned, is a substantial project. Which could not possibly be done or completed at just the local level. We would absolutely have to engage state leaders, congressional leaders, and everyone about that land because of what the potential for mixed use and housing, commercial and development could be around the 750 space Forge Park T-lot. And I would just note that, Madam Chair, I know Emma's going to make a couple comments. We just have a couple minutes left.
I know.
And I know Mr. Halligan, I think here, there was a couple hands raised, and I just wanted to make sure we got to them real quick. Thank you.
I saw them. Thank you for reminding me. Emma?
Okay. Going to try to remember all the questions. So obviously, I think the affordability is a big piece. And, you know, how can you use market rate development and potentially density incentives or density bonuses to supplement and increase affordable housing production. And so, you know, part of the argument is that we need affordable housing, which is 100% true, but we also just need more housing, period.
Right.
And kind of balancing out that supply and demand equations to help, you know, stabilize prices to the degree possible is obviously an important thing. And then I think, you know, in terms of the school children factor, you know, we hear that all the time. And, you know, I think through this process, hopefully we can do some, you know, education around the fact that these new developments, these that have, you know, one or two bedrooms, they're really not the drivers of school population increases. And by having places for seniors to downsize to and, you know, to just sort of live out like the cycle of, you know, different housing lives, you know, throughout the course of their life is important. And so you want to just have that flexibility and the ability for people to sort of move into different housing options depending on their life stage. I think the question around engaging folks is a really good one. These might be some of the opportunities for additional engagement that we do, but, you know, really we just want to have ideally great participation in the public forums and in, you know, any other engagement that we do that's targeted to make sure that we're hearing from folks who, you know, might want to live in Franklin, but they can't. So I think based on sort of our first round of engagement, we can identify any gaps that have emerged and hopefully specifically target those populations as we move forward in the project.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Emma. We have a question in the audience here in Chambers, I think.
Hi, Joe Halligan. Just sitting back, listening to all this. Geez, my head is spinning. After spending 14 years on the board to get the town where we are, I'm listening to about what might happen in the downtown. The downtown, to me, is a little historic little area that's always been great to be. I'm listening to some of the members here, how they like to walk downtown, and it's a quaint little town, have their little outgoing things. But listening to what's proposed here, incentives to developers, no height restrictions, no special permit. This is like the wild, wild west. I mean, be careful what you wish for, because maybe downtown will not be that quiet little downtown walkable area. And again, the word eminent domain, that scares me. But that's what this board thinks right now, no, but it could be in the future. But it sounds like the downtown is not going to be the nice, quiet, little historic downtown that we enjoy and what we have. This sounds like it's a builder's delight, if that's what you want. But I didn't think over the past years, town of Franklin, they really liked that downtown. For the next century, will remind people what Franklin really is and was. There's not much left historically in Franklin to show the future what we have. And I think someone had mentioned, I think Mr. Jones had mentioned also, people need amenities. And as he said, West Central and East Central are growing. Your infrastructure's there. Your sidewalks are there. Banks, pharmacies, grocery stores. These are the things you need to survive. I don't think we're going to see a grocery store downtown Franklin. I don't think you're going to see a CVS or Walgreens downtown. People need to have that stuff. So cars will still be needed. We have to put that into perspective. But again, careful what you wish for. It sounds like a builder's dream to run downtown if something like this was to go through. I think a lot more discussion needs to be had, and I'd like to be involved in it. Thank you.
Thank you. I think we are going to have a lot of discussion about it, and that's exactly why we're having open forums, because we want to hear from everybody. I mean, just quickly, what I hope to get out of the rezoning process is to remove that fear that Eileen Mason talked about for some of the developers. So that's really what I would like to get out of this process. But we are out of time. And so I would like to thank everyone here for participating, and I would accept the motion to adjourn.
Motion
to
adjourn.
All in
thank
favor?
Thank you,
everyone. Thank you. Second. Second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.